Welcome everybody to the Joe's Bot Podcast. Today's guest is none other than Mr. Fernando Fiore. Fernando Fiore, you might recognize him from a couple of items from World Cup Soccer, from Lente Loco, from Fuera de Serie. This is going to be a bilingual podcast entre español y en inglés.
Sí, señor.
Muchas gracias por estar aquí, Fernando Fiore.
Hello. ¿Qué tal? It's a pleasure for me to be with you today and with all your people, your audience. And thank you for the invitation. It's a very, very special week, a very special day. And I'm glad that we can share with you now.
Fernando, vamos a empezar con esto. Fernando, que lamentablemente nos dieron las noticias de hoy. Vamos a ver.
Diego Maradona, widely regarded to be one of the greatest footballers to ever play the game, has died. In a statement from the Argentine Football Association through its president, Claudio Tapia, expresses its deepest sorrow for the death of our legend, Diego Armando Maradona. You will always be in our hearts. Blue heart. It is understood that the 60-year-old football legend died of a heart attack. He had been discharged from hospital just 2 weeks ago after being admitted for emergency brain surgery to remove a clot on the brain. He was due to continue receiving treatment for alcohol dependency on his discharge from hospital after a long history of drug and alcohol abuse. But
así es, el 25 de noviembre de 2020 fallece Diego Maradona. ¿Cómo tus pensamientos, Fernando, con la pasada de Diego Maradona?
I'm deeply sorry, obviously, because it's one of the greatest footballers in history. When I heard the news that you just put the tape, it's sad that it's always linked Diego Maradona with the two different Maradonas, like I called, you know, Maradona footballer. Like I said, in my humble opinion, and I think that millions and millions of people around the world agree with me, for sure, one of the best, for some people, the best. It's difficult to compare, footballers or singers or anything that, they have to be from different eras, because sometimes you are more exposed to one particular player or singer or politician or anything than another one from 100 years ago or 50 years ago. So, we said it in Spanish, es odioso comparar, because they are big in by their own standards and by the standards of millions of people around the world. So saying that, he's a footballer and he's a person, a human being. So the tape that you just played, it will link, we are so sad because Maradona is dead, but they have to add Maradona had a lot of history with drugs and alcohol and so many other things. So unfortunately, that's his legacy, and you can always discuss how you're gonna remember him, and I accept all the opinions. Some people will say I only remember him as a footballer, and other people say you cannot separate the public figure, which is a football player, from his life, obviously, that he shows to the rest of the world. So for me personally, it's a sad day, no matter what he did, because he's there's a lot of people that during their lifetime did good things, bad things. And that's the way it is, nobody's perfect. Nobody, that I know in my lifetime live as a saint.
Yeah.
They usually people make mistakes. So I'm very sad. He was amazing on the field, And that's the way I remember him today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, to our listeners, Fernando, you are from Argentina.
Yeah, that's why today I'm wearing the Argentinian jersey in Maradona's honor. One of, like I said, probably the ones that I saw, probably the player that, you know, that, you know, he wore this jersey better than anybody else.
Absolutely. And that's what we're talking about. And what we're talking about is, like, unfortunately, that news clip that I played came from Sky News, and they had to add that. And,
yeah,
you know, it's unfortunate because, again, like you said, we're human beings. And I personally, I'm on that same level where you're talking about that. You know what? Human beings, we're not perfect. We don't live a perfect life. But no. Nonetheless, when it comes to Diego Maradona, the football player, as you mentioned, the guy was amazing on the field, is what I've seen.
Yeah.
And I think going back to you growing up in Argentina, was he already a football player while you were growing up there?
Yeah. Of course, I left Argentina in 1980. It was, you know, he was already he was disappointed that he didn't participate in 1978 in our World Cup that we won in Argentina, because he was not part of the squad. He was cut in the very last moment, and he wasn't part of that squad that they won the world championship in 1978. But then the following year, he was the member of the youth Argentinian team in 1979, that it was a world champion. It was when, you know, we all say, wow, no, this 19-year-old player, which we already knew, like I said, from a couple of years ago, because you know, he was already part of the mix of the top talent in Argentina in the late 70s. He became, from that point on, the player to watch. And so I only saw him in Argentina until 1980. And then when he moved to Europe, then I saw him play on TV during the World Cup in 1982 and in Spain. And then again in 1986, when he was the man. Although, like we always said, he got a team behind him. You know, soccer or football is not an individual sport. It's not tennis, when right. All the glory goes to Djokovic or Nadal, or in my case, in Argentina, Guillermo Vilas or Jimmy Connors. You know, football, it goes to the whole squad. You can be the star, but you need also your teammates. So 1986 was the pinnacle, and then, you know, we suffered in 1990. I followed all his career. I met him a few times. I'm laughing because sometimes it went great. Some other times he didn't go as well. I remember him. He could be a lovely guy one day, and he could be completely ignoring you the next. And that was part of Maradona. So. But I have quite a few anecdotes with Maradona, and I try to always remember both of them, the good ones and the not so good ones. they were funny back then. They were funny, still today are funny, and that time, and for me that I'm a fan, you know, before anything, before my career as a sportscaster or actually as a TV host, as an actor. I'm a fan. I love theater. I love sports. I love football, probably more than any other sport. So I'm a fan first. So right. When I met him for the first time, it was like, oh my God.
Wow. Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Much more than just trying to interview him. The same thing happened when I met some Hollywood stars, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, when I worked with him in a movie, or when I met, LeBron James. You know, there are people that, you know, besides that, they were huge, you know, for me as a fan.
They're just larger than life. And I got to work with the Spanish TV
station. It's really good that sometimes, you know, when people meet me on the street. You know, I said, oh my God, I can't believe it. I'm meeting a legend that I love since I was a little kid, you know. Today in my Twitter, it was a young girl who says, oh my God, I'm chatting on Twitter with someone that, you know, that I always admire. You know, and look, I have a, you know, piel de gallina, because it's so nice, you know, when you are in a communication business for over 30 years, you know, and there are people that start watching me when they were 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years old with their family in Lente Loco, Fuera de Serie, or whatever. And then they say, oh my God, now in social media, I'm chatting with this guy who for me is a legend, you know, and to hear that about my person, that I'm a legend, you know, I'm so humble and thankful for that thing.
Well,
you know?
Fernando, es que hay que reconocer. We got to recognize that you've been in the business for so long, and you've had some notable highlights in your career. You know, when I was going back through your biography through Wikipedia, you know, I knew who Fernando Fiore was. Like I said, like I was mentioning, I used to work for a Spanish station right out of college,
and I got to.
With Univision, KNBO.
Pero dónde?
In McAllen. McAllen, Texas.
Okay, sí. I know McAllen, yes. So, yes, I have a lot of friends in Texas. I did some work with a local station, the Univision local station, TV local station back in the days.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got to work with Marcos Valdez, el hijo de Loco Valdez.
Claro.
And through that, understanding, working with people, you know, like to what other people say is, oh my God, I can't believe I see you on TV. To us, it's like, you're just a human being, like just like anybody else.
Yeah. Believe me, I am very human being.
So no, pero es la gente que te reconoce, the people that recognize you. You know, one of the biggest things that you had a lot to do with was Lente Loco. Tell us about Lente Loco and how that got started. I mean, porque I'll be very honest with you. I'm a fan.
Oh my God! Well. Lente Loco. I was the co-creator, co-founder, and host of the original one, which it was only 1 year, 1992 to 1993. The character you mentioned was after our era, El Metido, and this kind of that stuff, and I was, you know, I was part of the. Of the Naughty Loco, which I also wear my dark glasses, and it was a, you know, it was a funny take of the news on Saturday Night Live. I was a huge fan of Chevy Chase when he was doing the original, you know, segment in Saturday Night Live, and we did something similar in Spanish. Lente Loco, I was already on TV for 4 years at that time because I started in 1988. And Lente Loco was, I would say, the big break. It was the first show of the new Univision administration. That was at the time when Televisa sold Univision, and we didn't know what our future would be because for the first time we were not gonna be strongly connected to Mexican TV, you know, and the giant like Televisa. So back in 1992, we didn't know what's gonna happen, and it was a lot of scary moments because many people thought that they might, you know, be completely different from that point on since Jerry Parenchio, which was a producer and big promoter, was the new owner, majority owner. So we didn't know where would be the direction. But fortunately for me personally and for my little group of three people, my great friends, Carlos Marquez Sterling and Manuel Garresta, we were chosen to be the very first show of the new era. So we were completely pioneers and they trust us to do Lente Loco, a half an hour candid camera show, which it was very difficult to produce here in the US because as you know, you might know, the lawsuits are completely different in these kind of shows that they could be in our countries, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it was difficult to produce the candid camera because anything, it will be, you know, it could be ended up in a lawsuit against Univision. So we have to get the candid camera videos from Televisa, from another show, and we have to reshuffle and do our own pet project, which was completely different of any other candid camera type of show that usually you know, funny videos or candid camera, the original one in the 1950s or 40s, I don't know, 50s, I think it was, and 60s and 70s, they were just presenting, a funny candid camera video. Mm-hmm. For us, with Lente Loco, was a scripted show that we were doing comedy with a whole concept that it lasted 52 shows the very first year. It was a huge success and top of the ratings. And unfortunately, when the first contract expired at the end of the first year, for one reason or another, well, we didn't come to terms with Univision. So the original producers and myself, we all left. There were three of us.
Okay.
And we left. And because of all the ideas and everything that it was created for Univision belonged to Univision, and we knew that, it was very amicable. And we said, okay, you know, we don't, if we cannot come to terms, then it's unfortunately that, you know, and we left. And then they did another 9 years with the same name of the program, but completely different. It transformed them into be a typical candid camera show where there were two hosts, Raymond and Odalis, which used to work with us. They were just presenting, okay, here we go to this video. Here we go to this candid camera. Here we go. So it was a completely different story. We were very proud of that first year of Lente Loco. I think it was, when someone eventually will write the Hispanic television book, they will have to include that particular show. As a breakthrough.
So you mentioned you were there from 92 to 93. That was the initial concept.
Yeah, 92 to 93.
Then thereafter, is that when you went to Fuera de Serie?
Yeah. Then, like I said, I left Univision for 6 months, mm-hmm. and because they didn't renew my contract, so I did. I went to do a wonderful experience. I went to do True Lies, the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis. I was casted as an Arab, although my family is from Italy, but they thought that I was looking like an Arab. So, and it was good. And the people, you know, like myself, I laugh a lot of times because people say, oh, you were in True Lies? Yeah, but you were an extra. Probably you were there for a day. And that's not the case. Yes, we were part of the gang of the bad guys. But we didn't do it only one day. We were for a full month.
Right.
So I work under the direction of James Cameron, fantastic director, yeah. Which I have a lot of anecdotes with him too, especially one that is very funny. And I have the chance to work with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis and Tia Carrere for a full month. At that time, it was the most expensive movie in the history of Hollywood.
Yes.
So it was a very good learning process. So yes, they didn't put my name at the end of the credits of the movie, but we were not just extras. We were part of the film for a month, and all the guys that they were with me, we took it very seriously, and it was completely different of some extras that they, you know, that. Maybe you work for 10 seconds in a shot in a movie and you work only for one day and
right.
You're in and out and you never meet the director more than maybe for a couple of hours. For us, it was a great experience. So that's what I mentioned it all the time. And when I finished the filming of that movie at the end of 1993, then I was ready to move to Telemundo with one of my co-creators of Lente Loco. And Univision somehow knew about it, and they say, no, you can't go to Telemundo. I say, well, you know, I'm a freelance right now. I'm a free agent, so you didn't renew my contract, so, you know, technically I can go anywhere. I says, no, but you're part of the family. You should come back. And, well, they offered me to do the World Cup in 1994. And talking about Maradona, that was his last World Cup. And I covered the World Cup for Univision in 1984, and at the same time we developed Fuera de Serie, another breakthrough, another fabulous show that top of the ratings. That one lasted for 4 years. It certainly went well for Sofia Vergara career. For me it was great. For her it was absolutely astronomical, fantastic, because from there she got the chance to, you know, she started with us. It was the very first job that she got.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the rest is history, like I say, you know.
And that's what we like to tell our listeners and our people, that, you know, sometimes opportunity presents itself. And if you don't take opportunity, then too bad, so sad. You know, we knocked on your door and you chose not to take it. And I recall, I must have been 10 or 11 years old. So for a 10 and 11 year old.
So you made a calculation. The show lasted from 95 to 99.
What I was getting at. So for an 11 year old to a teenager, you know, as you get older, I'm loving this. Cause what did they say? Yeah. I mean, yeah. Sophia, she was looking great at that time.
Oh, she still do.
Yeah.
She still does.
And you guys were using her back and forth, because I remember her doing some segments where she was doing some soccer segments. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah. She was. We were part of another great team. Very creative. Luis Blanco was behind that one, and myself and some other people that they were, you know, that we were producing the whole thing and doing the research. We have a nice and very nice group. And Sophia adapted very well, because Sophia, like I said, she was very young back then. I was 34. She was 22, I think, 23. She didn't have any experience on TV. So she was adapting, and she was listening, and she was learning. Right. So if we tell her to kick a soccer ball, she will do it. I mean, every day, you know. Everything was going great. The people loved the combination, like a little bit of the Beauty and the Beast, and everything for her was going right in the show, and for me everything was going wrong. It was like an odd couple and two good friends going around the world. So it was I think it was a great creation, and although they were only 4 years, I think it's a show that it will lasting memories for millions and millions of people.
Absolutely. And to go on to that, it seemed like that combination of, like you mentioned, the Beauty and the Beast was something that they continued with. I mean, I'm talking about Univision in particular. So, you know, thereafter, I recall El Gordo y la Flaca started coming out, right?
Yeah, they were pretty much for the same, from the same era. They were doing a live show at, you know, they're still doing it, and it was good. I think that they were on the air a little bit before us, and now for us it was a, you know, like I said, it was a great show. Univision never after did another traveling show. Again, it wasn't much more than a traveling show, that the usual traveling show where there's a host around the world talking about the pyramids. Our show was more comedy into traveling, or traveling into comedy, however you want to put it. But it was more scripted. It was more, you know, ad-libbing also. It wasn't that particular pattern after a traveling show that you already seen in English TV, in American TV, or in any other part of the world. You know, so it was a completely different story. And that's why the people also get engaged so much, because they were feeling that they were part of the family and they were traveling with us everywhere.
Right. And that's a huge part. When, you know, when you work with people, work is work. But when work turns into family.
That was great.
That's great. I mean, it becomes a love.
Yeah. It happened with Lente Loco, and it happened again with Fuera de Serie. I have to say that then República Deportiva was, we have a great group again. But I have to be honest. It wasn't the same for me. It wasn't the same type of family, because it was a bigger group. It was more people involved. It was a live TV show every week, so it was more difficult to get that togetherness that we have when we were Lente Loco, that we were only three people. You know, we were doing everything together. Sometimes. Pretty much every week, we were working 18 hours a day, 12 hours a day. When, you know, and then Fuera de Serie, we were traveling together for a week or 10 days. So we have much more togetherness. In República Deportiva, was more the type of work that, you know, you have to go work and you are not with the same people every single day, because it was rotating, because it was a big show, 2-hour show every week with a lot of elements, and then it, you know, it was a different thing. Although we, you know, we have some holidays together and vacations together with some of the members, but it was a much bigger staff there. So for me, I think it was a different thing.
Oye, Fernando, for our listeners, funny anecdote, Sofia Vergara.
What was that, sorry?
A funny anecdote of Sofia Vergara.
Oh, Sofia Vergara. Well, the funniest anecdote, it was always that the people were so envious all the time, and they tell me that, oh my God, I'm so jealous of you because you travel the world with Sofia, and I'm sure that you go in the plane and you talk a lot and people. And the funny thing was that Sofia didn't like to travel much. She wasn't impressed of going around the world much. It wasn't her thing. And as soon as she was getting into the plane, she was covering herself with a little blanket on the plane, and she wouldn't say one word during the whole trip. So people usually think, oh my God, what a wonderful experience to talk to Sofia for 8 hours going to Spain or, you know, from Miami or whatever. Right. And actually, it wasn't the case. Sofia, it's a lovely person, but she's not, or she wasn't at that time, actually, you know, into a lot of conversation. She was very young, so she was not much into politics or into football or into the things that I was, or art, right. Like I was into it. She was more like a 20-something-year-old girl that it was more into another things that, you know, that, you know, so it wasn't like we were sitting every night talking about life. You know, we were having fun, and like I said, it was like a family. Sofia, and we were a family, but she was like a little, yeah, she was like a little sister. It was, yeah, not, the, you know, the people thought that, oh my God, it's probably, you know, they spend a lot of hours talking and how interesting. It wasn't like that.
Oh yeah. So 2020 has brought us a bunch of things that, yeah, we don't, it's been a terrible year. 2020 has been bien terrible. Cuando iniciamos con COVID en marzo y hicimos lockdown, right, cuarentena, sí, sí, quarantine. So how have you adapted to a quarantine life, Fernando?
Yeah. Like I said all the time lately, it's not like for me particular, it's not like a reinvented. The word you say is more likely you adapt to the things. And you know, some people are, oh, we have to reinvent ourselves. You know, it's difficult to reinvent yourself. You know, you are, right, what you are. You have to, for me, it was more like adapting to things, you know, and I have to say that it was a huge change. I never spent in my 60-year-old life so many months without traveling, without going to the airport. You know, I came back from Spain right the day that it was declared a pandemic in March 13, 12 actually, and I haven't been in an airport since then. It never happened in my life, you know, for my line of work. And before TV, I was, you know, was also, I graduated in travel and tourism, so I was a tour guide. I traveled around the world. I traveled around the U.S. I was always, you know, on a bus, on a plane, on a train, on a car, going somewhere, you know, and it was itching when I was at home more than 6, 7, 8 days in a row. This year is completely different, and I don't regret it. You know, it was like a sabbatical. You know, I say, okay, I don't need the passport this year. You know, from March on, right now I'm start to getting a little itchy, and I wanted to go back to Europe, and I was working in a great project right when the pandemic hit us. It was a great, fantastic project with Bein Sports, the sports network that they have, La Liga Española. And I was going to Spain every other month, and everything was going fantastic. And then all of a sudden, we have to stop that project, the Golden Ticket project, which I really missed. But then again, you know, you can sit down and complain about it. You can sit down and bitch and complain over everything that went wrong this year, COVID, the hurricanes, the presidential elections, the fires in California and around the world,
right? Australia.
You can complain all up, you know, about all that, but sometimes it's difficult to fix it from your position, or you can try to, like Thanksgiving, just trying to think what were the positive things, although it's difficult to find it this year, and thank for that. For me, it was a new era. I start to work with my MLS team, the Inter Miami, the David Beckham team. I'm part of the English broadcasting that we did every single game, which it was a new experience, and it was great. I did a TV show for Central America, for Honduras and El Salvador from home. It was a great way to connect with my hermanos Centroamericanos. I start to write my second book, which was also fantastic. I have to get a little break because then I was getting too busy and I couldn't dedicate so much hours to write that. But then I kept working on radio. I have sports and casual life capsules that we sell around the country to different stations and Sirius FM XM. So I'm busy. I'm very busy, and I go to the beach a lot because I live right by the beach. So it went fine. I'm so sorry about all the people that got sick, the people that the lost family, friends, and quarter million deaths only in US is tragic. God, like I said, you know, we didn't know, nobody knew that there was going to be a pandemic this size, you know, and unfortunately you have to deal with it.
Yeah. You know, so now you're working with the English Soccer League. Is that, am I correct in saying that?
With the MLS.
Oh, with the MLS. Okay. So how, I mean, I see it where they're having games, but there's no fans.
Yeah, very difficult.
So how important are the fans to the game of soccer?
I think you know, in any sport is players, and at this pretty much this a little bit below the players are the fans. I mean, because without players, you have no sports, obviously.
Right.
And you can see that without fans, you still can have a sport. So I have to be honest. I mean, you cannot put the fans on top of the players, but the fans are right there. The difference is between fans at the stadium consuming that thing live, you know, and in presence, and the fans consuming the same thing on TV and on the phones. You know, without the fans live, obviously the sport will not disappear, but it's a huge loss. It's a huge loss, not only financially, but it's also a huge loss for the feeling of the sport, for the feeling of a theater, of a movie theater, or a live theater, you know.
Right.
Live concerts. I see a lot of streaming live concerts, rock concerts. I'm a rock concert fan, huge fan. And I watch some, you know, concerts, streaming concerts. It's not the same.
Yeah. Not even
if you put on the... It's not the same for us, the fans, and it's not the same for the performers.
Not even if you put the virtual reality goggles on, right? It's not the same. It's not the same. I was just talking to my wife earlier this morning, and we were watching
But your wife was right.
Yeah, she's always right. We were talking and we were listening to the Doobie Brothers concert, and we were wanting to see them. I love the Doobie Brothers. And I said, man, I miss concerts. And she goes, yeah, me too. You know, when are we going to go?
Well, I went in my 40 years here in the US, I went probably to over, I would say 5,000 concerts, and I have the tickets. I have the tickets for pretty much most of them. So I used to go right before the COVID and the crisis. I used to go sometimes 2-3 times a week to different concerts. I could go, you know, one day to see a Steve Miller Band, and 2 days later to see Arthur Funkel, and 3 days later go to see ELO. So You know, for me, it was something that you know that I've been doing this for 40 years. So 2-3 concerts a week, you know, is nothing unusual for me. So imagine now for the last 9 months.
It's been crazy, I would tell you. Like, we're over here listening to the records, and we're having to redefine what fun is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So on that note, who is your top five rock bands?
Well, that's, you know, AC/DC, The Who. I love the classics of the 80s and 70s pretty much. So Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, you know, those guys. And then a little more, if you want to go into more of the pop side of a soft rock or more light rock, that, like I said, the original ELO with Jeff Lynne and Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and I love a lot of guys.
It's a lot of them. It's too hard to even listen.
But if you give me one that I have to listen for a couple of days nonstop, probably AC/DC. I will do that.
Wow, I'll do Pink Floyd, and on top of that Pink Floyd, I'll do the David Gilmour album.
Yeah, of course. Well, Gilmour and Plant and all the different guys, you know, that they were doing, solo careers also, that they have amazing solo careers. Same thing with Supertramp and Hutchison or ELO and Jeff Lynne doing solo, or, you know, or Genesis and Phil Collins.
Yes.
There are a lot of guys, Rick Wakeman with Yes and his solo career. It's a lot of great performers. All of those we mentioned, I saw them several times.
Qué bendición que tienes. Oye,
sí, gracias a Dios. Mira, acá, si no me equivoco, a ver. Ah, sí, mira, acá tengo una de las cajitas para que veas que no estamos inventando. Mira, esta cajita tiene todos tickets de concerts de años. Mira,
vamos a hacer una rifa ahí. Fernando Fiore, voy a sacar una.
Mira, voy a sacar una aquí. También hay Argentina. Madison Square Garden. Este es el ticket de lo que pagué. El recibo del ticket. Sí, es el customer receipt. Madison Square Garden. A ver qué concierto era. A ver qué hay por acá. Partidos de fútbol que también hay. Miami Heat, WrestleMania. Dennis DeYoung from Styx. I love Styx.
Styx, Mr. Roboto. Yeah.
His solo career is great too. The Moody Blues, fantastic. I saw them many, many times. Juan Luis Guerra. I love Spanish. Charlie Garcia, my idol, Argentinian rock and roll. What is here? Heart.
We lost your video feed.
I got it. Heart. With the Wilson sisters.
Oh man.
What is this? Robin Hood Relief Fund. Well, tons and tons of tickets of different.
That's a lot, man. I mean, Fernando Fiore, everybody, he does not lie. He's got the tickets to prove it.
Taylor Hicks. because I used to go to Vegas so much for the boxing matches, so I watch every single performance in Vegas too. Plenty. Well, let me see here. Oh, Jon Anderson. This is the singer for Yes in his solo career also. Anyway, like I told you, tons and tons of tickets of different concerts, all kind of music.
¿Qué importante es un individuo, a young individual? How important is it for them to get culturized?
Oh, well, you mean like an immigrant coming to a different country, or?
I'm talking like any individual in any country. How important is it for them to be aware of different cultures?
Oh, well, that's actually, it's up to the individual. Some people think that it's fine to live in your neck of the woods, and and I respect that. And some other people like me want to know everything about pretty much everything in the world. I'm, you know, I love culture. I love art. I love politics. I love sports. But I don't pretend that everybody will be like that. There are many people that they are not, right, that they want just to have one side of the culture, or and they're, you know, happy with whatever they do in life, on their own job and their own career. And it's perfectly fine. You know, usually I compare to myself that, you know, you can be a doctor, a specialist, that it could be, you know, a great brain surgeon. And then sometimes you have another doctors that they are general doctor, not general practitioner, that they are not, they are those doctors that you go and they know exactly when you what happened to you, but they don't gonna operate your brain. They send you to the specialist, so they don't know exactly what happened with your urinary tract. They send you to the nephrologist. So there are all kind of people that they have. Or the same thing in my line of business. You know, there are some sportscasters that they love only football and they hate other sports. You know, and there are some other guys that, you know, I can sit down and watch tennis or basketball or baseball, but probably I'm not gonna sit down to see the whole nine innings of baseball.
Right.
And some people think that I'm crazy. How come? You know, the baseball lovers, they would love to see extra innings, you know, and so it depends, you know.
Yeah, it does, pero what I was getting
at. The same thing with the culture. Some people think that, you know, well, you know, one language is more than enough. I barely know Spanish and I barely know a little English. And when I was a kid, I wanted to learn French, but I'm not very good with languages. So thank God I'm good in Spanish. But some people love to learn different languages.
What I was getting at, Fernando, is like, I had two children and I got a 12-year-old and I got a 9-year-old. And to me, I mean, again, they are their own person. Cada cabeza es su mundo, ¿sí?
Exacto. Cada uno tiene. Y los niños pasa lo mismo, tú sabes. No los puedes obligar tampoco.
Correcto.
Mi hijo tiene 18 años. Cuando era chico, yo siempre dije, oye, your son has to be playing good soccer because you are all about soccer. I said, not really. You know, he likes it. Sometimes he hates it. You know, I enrolled him when he wanted, and then he said, I don't like soccer because they score on me so many times. I don't want to go anymore. I'll say, okay, don't go anymore. You know, if you don't feel like it. And especially I remember, because I told him one day, I said, listen, you know, I'm not playing my games on Saturday mornings with my friends because I have to take you to play. And if you don't enjoy it, then we're wasting your time and my time.
Right.
You know? So I say, if you don't want to go anymore, it's fine with me. I want to go and play. I'm still playing now, and I'm 60 years old, and I love to go every Saturday to play. And now my son Gianluca is a amazing fisherman. I mean, huge. He's an amazing fisherman. He knows everything about it, and you know, he loved that. And I said, well, that's it. And you know, and I barely, you know, probably I fished maybe a dozen times in my life. And then I was into it because of him.
Right. So, I mean, every child is going to navigate their waters of life, what we call life, right?
Yeah. And it's fine.
And that's fine.
Let me get the cable 1 second to get my battery on just in case. But like I said, you know, you can push him. You can show them different things and you know, he might like the same things you like, or maybe not.
Right. Right, but I mean, going back to la cultura es algo muy impactante, muy in my personal opinion.
Yeah, my personal opinion too. I'm insufrible, insoportable, many, you know, and my girlfriend hates when I do that. But I'm watching a movie, and if I'm watching a movie and they mention a city, I have to stop the movie and go Google and see if I don't know the city. Where the city is, how big is the city, just to get more into the movie. And I wanted to know, learn about the place that I'm watching the movie. I said, we can't watch the movie like this. I said, yes, we can. Because sometimes, you know, I love to watch Spanish movies, and sometimes they mention, you know, little towns. And I said, oh, I think I've been there, but how far from Bilbao? So I stopped the movie and just to see where it is. So that's part of my cultural craziness.
Yeah, that reminds me of, I don't know if you recall this, on VH1, there used to be like, they would play music videos and then they'd have like these little captions, right?
Of course. That was great. That was a great thing.
Oh, yeah. It lets you know of what's going on, the music behind. Just the other day, I had a guest on, and they're going through Nashville, and they're going to try to get a record contract, etc.
I love country music too.
And what he was telling me is like the behind the music, and I was telling him, man, this podcast is starting to turn into a behind the music type of the situation, but it's always good because people want to know the stories behind it. You know, what you see on TV is one thing, but what you see, the struggle on how to get there, it's amazing.
I love that thing. And I probably every time I listen to one of my records or Spotify or whatever, then I go and if it's a band, I wanted to know exactly how it went from every member of the band.
Yeah.
That thing. Yeah. It's just, you know, trivia. Sometimes it's trivia, but it's something that I enjoy.
No, hombre, on my birthday, usually I'll end up going to either Vegas or to Los Angeles. This past year, right before COVID hit, we went to Las Vegas, and my wife, she knows I'm a big Def Leppard fan, so she got some tickets to go see Def Leppard.
I saw it.
And in that concert, I'm singing every single song of the album and so forth. And she's like, how do you know all these songs? I go, babe, it's because you have no idea. Like, Rick lost his arm in a car accident. My brother used to love listening to Joe Elliott and Def Leppard, and I grew up watching, and I'm giving her this history lesson all throughout the concert. Así era como dice usted. And I'm there, like, just telling her the tidbits of what I know. Pero we know this because we like to know.
Yeah.
We're OCD in a way, ¿verdad?
Yeah. Hey, some people don't care. I tell exactly the same to my girlfriend. I say, Mariela, you know, this drummer used to play with somebody else. And, you know, she doesn't care. And it's fine. it's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's information that, you know, that it's relevant to only the ones who love specific topics. The problem with me sometimes is I love a lot of topics. That's the problem.
Yeah, same here. I think that's anybody who went into communications, into broadcast journalism.
I always knew that I wanted to do this. So
yeah, I was having that conversation a while ago where we were saying, when I was in journalism, when I was working with Univision, like, I loved my job. I loved doing everything and just talking to people, but it wasn't paying enough for me to stay in it. So I pursued other avenues. I became a teacher. I'm now an administrator. I'm an assistant principal, and that does well. But when I had the opportunity to turn this into a podcast, I'm enjoying every single bit of it because, again, is what I love to do.
Fantastic, man. Sometimes, you know, it takes a turn in life to reconnect with something, you know, that you love, that you probably put them on the side because of family and kids and work. And it happens to many, many, many people.
Yeah.
So it's nothing unusual. Unusual to be.
I got to see him, Tom Jones.
Oh, man, I saw him live a couple of times. He's absolutely fabuloso.
It is.
Me encanta. Especially because, you know, that true story, and he told me in one of the concerts, he's a diehard rock and roll man. Uh-huh. The thing is that when he was very young, he was playing rock and roll, and he didn't go nowhere with his band. And then all of a sudden, a producer says, oh, maybe your voice is for some romantic and what's a pussycat, and they make him switch. And because he was struggling as a rocker, he started to sing, you know, pop songs and romantic songs, and he was huge. And he says, you know what, I'm gonna keep singing this song because I'm gonna be rich. Then later in his career, he says, you know what? Now I have so much money and I have so much friends. So now I'm going to play whatever I like.
Right.
And I saw him playing rock and roll songs, and, you know, and it's fine. You know, sometimes you have to adapt, because sometimes your dreams, you have to put them on hold for a little bit in order to secure financially your career and your life.
Right.
And then when you got a chance, if you got a chance, which, you know, sometimes it happens, and you go back and do the other things that you couldn't do before.
As he is, you got to put yourself in a position where you're not going to hurt yourself, rather benefit yourself so that you can move forward.
Let me tell you, some people, you know, and I know some of the people says, you know what? No, I want to do this. And even if it's not going to be moving my career, or he's not going to make me successful, I don't want to do something else, which is also very understandable. And you know, and you have to accept the opinion of some of the people. For me, like I said, I always try to adapt. When I didn't get what I wanted to do on TV, they asked me to do news, and I didn't want to do news, but I knew it was a good move, so I did news.
Yeah.
And then I went back to what I wanted to do. So, you know, it's a different approach.
It definitely is. I sometimes wonder, like, what would have happened if Joseph had lost?
Well, no, you can't. No.
You can't. You move on. But, you know, like, but see, it's always a topic of conversation where you're like, man, okay.
Yeah, you can't double guess.
Oye, Fernando, vamos a terminar esta serie en español.
¿Cómo no?
Claro. Fernando, mejor equipo de fútbol.
El mío, River Plate, de Argentina.
el mejor equipo mundial.
En la selección argentina, por lo que me dio en su momento. Ahora hace 23 años que no me está dando mucho.
El mejor equipo futbolística de la liga inglesa.
Chelsea.
¿Y de la liga mexicana?
El Atlante.
Ay, tengo bastantes seguidores que nos van a decir hoy el Atlante. No, hombre, ¿qué pasó?
Está loco el tipo este. No, pero yo opino por mi corazón. A mí,
claro.
A mí el mejor para mí no es el que mejor juega, es el que mejor me llega al corazón.
Ándale. Oye, y ahora el mejor.
Y en la MLS es mi equipo, el Inter Miami.
Y ese mero. Ahora, y el jugador número uno del mundo en la historia.
Bueno, de los que yo he visto, como te digo, las comparaciones son difíciles, pero de lo que yo he visto, lamentablemente, justo hoy lo perdimos físicamente, que es Maradona.
Y tu último momento, mejor momento de Diego Maradona.
Levantando la copa en el año 86.
Fernando, fue un placer tenerte aquí hoy en mi podcast. Muchas gracias por darnos el tiempo. Un último mensaje para nuestros fans.
No, nunca es un último. Siempre habrá una nueva oportunidad. Pero por ahora les digo que tengan un great Thanksgiving, que piensen en las cosas positivas que les ha pasado. Yo lo puse ahora en mi Twitter, @FernandoFiore. Y en el Instagram, Fiore Oficial. Este año posiblemente sea un poquito más difícil buscar las cosas por las que tenemos que dar gracias. Pero si realmente piensas, vas a encontrar muchas cosas que, a pesar de todas las calamidades que hubo este año, hay para agradecer. Así que se cuiden mucho, que sigan saludables, que se recuperen los que no están tan saludables y que tengan un excelente fin de año, sea como sea, tratar de ver las cosas positivas. Los espero en mi Twitter, @FernandoFiore, en mi Instagram, Fiore Oficial. Me da mucho gusto estar contigo. Espero que la gente haya disfrutado, que disfrute de este podcast. Si ha disfrutado del podcast, que se lo digan a todo el mundo para que lo escuchen y lo disfruten. Y si no han disfrutado del podcast, que no se lo digan a nadie para que los demás también lo escuchen y vean por sus propios ojos y oídos.
All right. Well, thank you so All much, right. everybody. Once again, this is the Joe's Bot Podcast. Today's guest was Fernando Fiore. You can follow him on his Instagram, on his Twitter, on his social media. In English, what was it again?
In English, it's @FernandoFiore for the Twitter. And for Instagram, it's Fiore Oficial, FioreOficial. Only one F.
Thank you so much, everybody. We'll see you again. Pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ciao. God bless you.
Y terminamos. Muchas gracias, Fernando. Un placer.
Bueno, querido. Muy amable.
Muy amable. Gracias a Dios. Y ahí te mando el link después, luego.
Dale. Muchísimas gracias.
Ándale, adiós.
Mejor. Chao.
Igualmente.
Chao.
Bye bye.
Y recomiéndame ahí para que me manden para que me manden peticiones por cambio.
I will. I sure will. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.